I feel like, you know, I got to be a better manager. I got to be better at evaluating players. I got to be better at communicating with the coaches, with the scouting staff, with development staff, Rochester, all those things. If I stop having the drive to be a better manager, then I should retire, and probably will that day. But I want us all to have that drive and desire to get better.
Jarmo Kekalainen. Saber season comes to an end this week. A Game 7 loss. I was looking at some of the available free agents other than Alex Tuch coming up on July 1st, and there is, like, nobody. Which is why he's expected to demand so much. There's nobody that makes sense. I mean, Malkin and Ovechkin are the next names on the list, which, like, those are not nobodies. Those are first ballot Hall of Famers, but one, I would not expect either one of those guys to ever play anywhere else. Unless they want to play together for a year. And two, they're 39 and 40. It's not quite the move you'd be looking for, I think. Not to say it's a no. If Ovechkin wants to play for the Sabres, like, I'm not going to say no. You know, it might help their power play, but it's not like the real world. Anthony Mantha maybe is a name we could throw around in the next month because maybe he helps your power play, but I don't know, same thing. Like, he's going to cost more than he probably should get, and it's just not a good crop this year, which is why Tuch has such an opportunity in front of him. And then it's trade ideas. You want to let's get stupid? I got a let's get stupid trade idea, and then we'll take some phone calls. We got a lot of time for these, by the way. And they're good now, so maybe they're not as dumb as they were before. All right.
Fun.
Let's get stupid on the Sabres and a trade.
I will allow you to push this button and get out scot-free of the Von Miller deal right now.
That's the dumbest thing you could have said! What are you, an idiot?
Yo, you don't even know what stupid is. It's about to get all stupid up in here.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
All right, this is going to be a big one because there's going to be a lot of things you need to make work here.
Okay.
Ooh.
But I'm going to get you to a place where the Sabres end up as like a super team.
Okay.
By the end of it.
All right.
And this is not getting McDavid and Matthews in the next year.
I was ready for that. I was bracing for that.
It's not that. There's a lot of talk in Minnesota about whether Quinn Hughes will sign or not, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And by the way, before he was traded to Minnesota, I think it was reported that Kevin Adams, like, tried to get involved in that.
Yeah, that's right. He did. There was a report that he called on that,
yes,
which was mind-boggling,
right?
But at that time, at least.
So I think part of what Minnesota's worried about right now is that he just wants to play with his brother. He just wants to go to New Jersey and play with his brother. So, okay. What is Minnesota openly desperate for right now? Like, they tried to get it from St. Louis. Guerin said it at his end-of-season press conference. Like, we are hunting a number one center.
Yeah, number one center.
They feel like where the Sabres were in, like, 2009, 2010. Like,
right.
We were pretty good. We got everything. We just don't have a center.
Need a guy to play in the middle.
And, like, well, sorry, number one centers are why you tank. Like, you can't just get them.
They're not easy.
Usually, you can't just get them. So, okay. Bill Guerin was the GM of Team USA. Do I want to offer them Tage Thompson for Quinn Hughes?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
I don't need Quinn Hughes. No. I already have, like, the best top four in the league. But also, Quinn Hughes is, like, one of the, what, four best hockey players in the world?
Yeah.
But that, again, that makes Dahlin redundant. And, like, that doesn't seem
redundant. I mean, when the Warriors got Kevin Durant, was Steph Curry suddenly a worse player?
It's a good point.
No, but they both don't play shooting guard.
No, but you could have them on the court at the same time. Go put Dahlin and Quinn Hughes on the court at the same time and watch the other team never have a shot on goal
that
again.
That could be something magical.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you already have something doesn't mean getting the best thing at it doesn't make you better.
Right. It's like doubling down in a table now, game. That's what you're doing right here.
Now, this is not even Let's Get Stupid yet. I mean, it's already pretty dumb.
It seems.
But dumber because I need to get Jack Hughes somehow because Quinn Hughes wants to play with Jack Hughes.
Right.
Jack Hughes and Lindy Ruff have a connection.
Tight, yep.
Hughes actually talked glowingly about Lindy after he got fired.
He went to bat for him when they fired him and said, like, they shouldn't have fired him.
So I got to figure out a way to get him. I don't have Thompson anymore to do that. I'm not touching Dahlin.
What is that?
I'm going to trade like... Maybe I'm trading Power in a first to get Jack Hughes.
I Owen Power.
So suddenly as a collective, I've traded... I don't want to trade Owen Power. I said yesterday, I'm at a point now where I don't even want to talk to you if you're trying to trade him unless I'm getting a superstar back.
In this scenario, you're bringing Quinn Hughes into the fold. So like Power becomes
trading Tage Thompson, Owen Power in a first for both Hughes brothers.
It seems cheap.
Tell me
that
that wouldn't make them a super team.
Right.
You're right. It's probably too
cheap.
You'd have
to add in some more. Yeah. But.
Can I just go back to Minnesota and go like, let's just take it down one notch and do like Norris and UPL for Wallstedt.
See, we got to turn the music off for an offer like that, though.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a real idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real idea. What was it again? Norris and UPL?
Norris and UPL for...
Do they want to trade Wallstedt Gustafson has hip surgery?
No. Probably not. But
you really want Wallstedt.
I really, really
Owen wants
really
Wallstedt
like
as much as any player I've heard.
He's been a big proponent for him.
I think he's really good and he's really young and awesome. Like,
good in the playoffs?
Yeah, generally. Yeah,
there was the game they allowed 9 goals.
They started with Gustafson and then he came in.
He had a .909 save percentage in 10 games.
He was fine.
It's pretty good. What was his goal save?
He's a rookie.
And he's a rookie, right?
So, you know.
You're right. Like, he's your goalie for 10 years.
Exactly. Like, he is the answer for as long as you've got everybody on the roster right now.
Do you think St. Louis was dumb for saying no to the offer, what they get offered? It was they were going to give up Robert Thomas. They were going to get Yurov, who's like one of Minnesota's prospects.
Yeah.
And they were going to get Wallstedt. Should they have said yes to that?
Probably not, because they got a kind of maybe a better offer from the Sabres and turned it down. If the offer from the Sabres is real.
Right. The reported offer from the Sabres was better than that.
I think so.
If you're getting
a goalie
you think
of
is
the
that
future
special.
Is a bigger piece than that.
Sure.
So, I don't know. It's close. Mirka, I think, is a legit top 4D, too. So, like, that's a similar asset to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I don't know. I think they were
that
smart
that is more
to
in the real world. I mean, Minnesota is one of the most interesting teams in the league this summer because Hughes might not stay. He's amazing, and they need a number one center. And I keep trying to make a trade with them work like you just kind of did because, Guerin's like openly like, we're desperate for a center.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here the other day, like the Sabres have like 8 centers beginning of next year. I don't really want to trade any of them, though.
No.
Like, I don't want to trade Tage unless I'm getting a superstar. I don't want to trade any of them. I don't want to trade any of them unless I'm getting something that's going to make the league explode.
Yeah, these playoffs have made us grow quite an attachment to a lot of these guys. So
right, like,
it's like you, Hellenius. I'm sorry, do not touch my guy right there.
He might be the guy, like aside from maybe Norris, that I think would be most. They would be most like okay with dealing because
probably,
he's only got a few games. He's looked great, so his value is super high. But you don't know. Like,
Shouldn't they capitalize right now on Norris finishing the season the way he did?
They could definitely think about it.
He is a good player. Like that, I thought he was really good in the Montreal series. And more you look at the beginning of the Boston series where he was terrible. And like, he was probably concussed.
He was jacked up.
That's the thing with him. He's unfortunately a glass man.
He's not even shooting the puck. And he's still valuable because... Like, Lindy spoke to it yesterday. His ability defensively has been super critical for them.
Yeah, he's really good.
His skating, his passing. But...
Is that something you think somebody else can do?
How many more injuries before he's untradeable? Is it one?
One.
Yeah.
For a lot of teams, it might already be the case.
Yeah.
If he gets injured in another faceoff or something like that, it's one.
There would be teams right now, I'm sure, that would say, we like him a lot, and we would never trade for him because we're terrified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that list of teams will only grow every injury that he has.
Right.
So, I don't know. I like the player, but maybe this is your last chance to get out of that contract before he can't play anymore.
And isn't the role he's playing right now kind of the what you think of the as the floor for an Oslund or a Helenius or Rukuli?
Yes, I think Oslund at minimum will be as good as what Norris just was.
Right.
I think
with
you could argue
play,
Oslund like, already right. as a rookie was showing that he was as good as what Norris just was in the Montreal series.
100%.
So
that makes him expendable on the biggest contract up front that they've got.
Right. Like whenever it kind of sounds like maybe Norris wasn't in the St. Louis offer for Thomas, or maybe he was. Who
right,
knows?
It's kind of they. Yeah.
If he was, if St. Louis wanted him, like oh, by all means, you want to clear out $8 million. We're replacing him anyway with Robert Thomas.
Yeah.
Like, go ahead, take him. If a team valued him still, because he is a good player, I would be like, okay, let me do that. Let me. Because that's such a risk having him on the team with that injury concern at $8 million and only halfway through the contract. He's got 4 years left.
It is scary.
He's interesting, like because he's so risky. But I like the player. And will he be able to shoot the puck next year?
You gotta hope so.
He had 13 goals. I mean, he had 35 in 2022 with Ottawa.
Yeah.
He only played 44 games. 803-0550 is the phone number. I've not really gotten to the Lindy Ruff extension. I want to do that. We'll get to that coming up at the top of the hour at 9 o'clock. By the way, Jeff Merrick tomorrow on the show from Sportsnet. I think he might even be in Carolina tonight for game one. So couldn't do today, but he'll be on tomorrow. 803-0550, the phone number here on WGR.
It's a weird feeling because it's a rewarding feeling, but at the same time, the way the season ended, it still stings and hurts. So it's a mixed bag of emotions. But I think when you take a step back and look at the progress we've made this year and the step we've taken and a lot of the goals that we've set out in front of us at the beginning of the season, we've surpassed them. So now that standard just gets changed and the bar gets set higher, and you know, it gets me excited and gets Dahls excited. And it's something that we've been dreaming about for a while here.
Tage Thompson. Dahls is Rasmus Dahlin, I assume.
Wrong.
Yeah. Is there another Dahls? Is there a Dahlgren or somebody?
Not yet.
Is there a Dahlgren coming?
No, I don't believe so.
Tage Thompson in the playoffs, his first go-round, 15 points in 13 games, but it was fair, you and I thought, to deep dive into that, just like what really was his level of quality in these playoffs. Game one against Boston, it started great. they were down bad in that game, and he scored twice, and those were Thompson goals. You know, nobody was talking about whether his back was okay or anything about him after game one of that series, but it wasn't all like that. 803-0550, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. One power play goal in 13 playoff games only for Thompson, but the Sabre power play did pick it up in the second round. Let's go to CJ here. Hi.
Hey, Schopen, hey, Bulldog. Good afternoon. So, Mike, you kind of touched on my topic before. So, I mean, I don't know how important it is to Lindy, but he can hit 2,000 games career coached through the next 2 years here easily. So he'll be top three all time by doing that. There's only been Maurice and Bowman to do that. So, and who knows, maybe he can catch Paul Maurice in career wins all time. He's only six wins behind, and not everybody wants to coach in their 60s, and Maurice already has a cup under his belt. So maybe he coaches for one more year, and then maybe he retires. So who knows? But here's a take for you. You know, of the four major sports, I feel like coaching and hockey is the least important of the four because hockey is such a high-variance, randomized sport where just anything can happen, and Game 7 proved it, where you can dominate and you can still lose. But, you know, Yarmo had no prior relationship with Lindy, and I feel like he brought him back because he got every ounce of every player's performance from a team that no one expected to make the playoffs back in December. So the vibes were great, and I feel like they brought him back, and I think Lindy thinks he can, you know, make some noise with them in the next 2 years, which is great. So I'm all for it.
Okay. I think you're going to have to work really hard to find someone who's not all for it. I mean, and that's not a criticism. I mean, it's not. It's certainly not a reason not to do what they did today, which is announce a 2-year contract extension for the very popular, beloved coach of the Sabres. Someone out there maybe is like, you know, we're going to just keep doing this. Whatever. I mean, it's hockey. I agree with the caller's point about the randomness. I don't know that I would get to, you know, I don't know how to really.
Baseball.
You know, get to where how much impact the coach has versus not versus the other sports and et cetera, et cetera. There's a lot less you can control in hockey. So there's always going to be that. But I'm glad that they kept their guy. Because he's our guy. He's lived here longer than many people who grew up here. I mean, he's a part of the community.
Right. Last year, I think it was, it could have been the beginning of this year as well, but last year there was a point in time when the Sabres seemed like they were really nowhere, and Ruff had come back on a, you know, maybe experiment isn't the right word, but a little bit of a nostalgia element to it, and what is this going to be? And they were floundering. And we were talking to Paul one day. I'm like, just sort of in passing, like, he's not coming back, right? Like, he's not going to want more of this. And he did, and this happened. And so, I don't know, like, I'm not close enough to him to have gotten that from, you know, anybody close to him or anything like that. I was just sort of saying it. Like, why? You know, he's mid-60s. Like, why do you want to, unless you just want to pile up, you want to compile stats, does he really think he can win here? Like, is there the organizational commitment? Doesn't seem like it. They didn't have credibility. All the things we said, Ruff was attached to it. I mean, he was the coach of a team that we talked about largely like it was unserious. That's a word I used a lot. I'm not even sure it's a word. But then it all changed in December, and he showed a great touch in the playoffs, if not throughout. And so, of course, you'd want to have him back if he wants to do it.
Yeah.
And apparently he does.
And he should want to do it because I think, you know, you would look at the year you just had knowing that it's not all, you know, you don't just keep going up from here. I mean, they had 109 points. That's going to be hard to be better than next year, at least in the regular season. But he certainly should look at his team like we're a top 10, top 5 contender in the league.
What do you think that number is? Do you know yet? Like, there'll be roster movement,
right? I don't know. But this year they were a top 5 contender. But that, you know, Florida wasn't there. That's largely it. I mean, Toronto has been a contender, but they, they are going to have a tough road ahead, I think, Toronto. But, yeah, I think the only team that missed that I think should be a threat next year is Florida. Ottawa will be still up and coming. Montreal, Buffalo, like these teams that made it this year. I don't think Toronto gets fixed. I think, will fade. Myself, that's a guess at this point.
Sabres will be minus money to make the playoffs.
I think so.
They have to be.
Because even in the other division, the Rangers are way down. Philly was surprising.
Pittsburgh's old.
Pittsburgh's another year older, and like, are they going to keep going with the same thing? I mean, holy cow, there's just not a lot there. So the Devils might be a team that should be heard from, you know, if they get better health. But there's not a long list of teams that I would sit. I haven't studied rosters and free agency and all that stuff yet, but off the top of my head, I don't think there's a bunch of teams. Florida's really front and center. Jersey might be the next one that I think of that wasn't a contending team this year that has, you know, young, really good pieces that could be heard from.
The Leafs are looking for a coach.
Yes, they are.
Do you know who the betting favorite is?
Is the betting favorite Manny Malhotra?
No, he's the betting favorite to be the coach of the Canucks, though.
And he was their AHL coach, I think, this past year.
Really?
Yes.
The Leafs AHL coach, the Marlies, is a man by the name of John Gruden.
Okay.
And he's the third choice at BetOnline. Mm-hmm. The favorite is a guy named David Carl, who is the head coach at the University of Denver.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Cassidy, and there's a little bit of drama with that.
Yeah, there is.
12-1 to be the next coach of the Canucks, Jay McKee. Come on.
He's going to get there.
Can I help?
He's got to get there eventually. I don't know about Vancouver necessarily, but I think the NHL.
Can I help?
He's got to get there eventually.
I don't know anybody on that.
He's had a couple of massive years in the OHL.
I have a friend in Vancouver, but I don't think he's with the Canucks.
Yeah. I know a guy in Vancouver I met.
We both do. We both know one guy in Vancouver.
I met a Bills fan who was in town for the Packers Sunday night game a couple of years ago.
Okay.
And he's from Vancouver.
All right. Jay, if you're out there, I don't know if we can help, but assuming you want the job, you'd want it, maybe we can do something.
Sabres have changed the start time of their news conferences to earlier, which never happens. They're starting at 4 now.
So okay.
Let's tell Sal. We'll adjust. All right. We had Sal booked. Yep.
Here's Dennis next. Hi, Dennis.
Hey, guys. Just curious, given the fact that we announced the extension, but had we not announced the extension of Lindy, do you think he vaults to the top of any coaching lists of available coaches out there, given what he's accomplished this year with us?
I don't know. I mean, he's a certain kind of candidate. He's 66. So what do you need? You need a team. I mean, the Sabres had a different outlook on Ruff when they brought him back. They were not this, but he was here for so long. So that's different. There's no one else like that. It would be a team that maybe thinks it's close. But even that, he's never won it. I mean, of all the top wins guys on the all-time lists, he's the one that doesn't have a cup. So that's not even like a no-brainer of a sell, I think, Ruff. And that's what you're kind of looking for. If you have a team that's on the cusp and you want a veteran coach, you might go to Laviolette or somebody like that sooner. So I don't know. I don't think he's necessarily right either for a rebuild. I don't know. I feel like maybe not. I think it might be a situation where this is where he's going to be or he's not going to be in it anymore.
Yeah, I think the team you'd want to get to here, like what kind of hot candidate is he? Ask yourself, would Edmonton go, oh my God, Lindy Ruff's on the market. Let's get him in here. And I don't know. I don't really see it. I don't mean that as a slate on Lindy. I just think it's just not I don't know. Like, he's not that level. I don't know. I think this is the spot. So I don't know if he would have become, you know, if he wanted to work again, would he have worked? I can't answer that at his age.
Well, I was saying before that I think he probably had a lot of leverage with the Sabres. That's the flip side of that coin, is if they wanted to wrestle with him, all right, well, go see what you can get. Like, sort of make it like tuck. Go find out. But I don't think there's a lot of sentimentality in this, and I'm not against it. He's meant so much to them this year. He was a huge part of the story. He's going to win the coach of the year again. I think, you know, wheels up. I mean, I'm not going to fight this, but I also don't think he necessarily would have had his pick of the openings. The Edmonton favorite, by the way, is Bruce Cassidy, then Berube, and Bruce Boudreau.
Wow.
So that reads like they want a cup-winning coach, mm-hmm. which Lindy is not.
Right.
But he's also fourth all-time in wins. Next highest on the wins list for coaches that have not won a cup is Alain Vigneault, with 234 fewer wins than Ruff. Regular season. After that, Pat Quinn. Then a lot of guys. What happened to Mike Keenan? He just gave it up. He last coached in 2009, in his 70s now. Any chance of a comeback? Mike Keenan, Bulldog. Thoughts? I haven't heard a word about him.
I haven't heard the name in a long time.
No, neither have I. So we think 4 o'clock.
4
now
o'clock
for
is
Lindy.
What the Sabres are saying, yes.
And the original plan was Kekalainen to follow, and we'll carry all of it.
I believe that's the plan, yes.
All right. Thanks, Dennis. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog back after this timeout here on WGR.
It was nice to obviously make the playoffs and see the city build around hockey again. It's one of those things where we're in a spot now to where there isn't the doubt of, are these guys legit? And I think that's obviously comes with the past. But it was cool to see the city grow around the idea that, as heartbroken as the city's been over hockey, it's nice to kind of see it start to heal in a way of, we got playoff hockey and now we're heading into the off season and people are excited about what we do and where we're at, rather than the talk of who's going to be here next year, who's not. It's who's going to come in and help us win.
That is Josh Doan on the first day of locker cleanout. I wanted mainly for that clip for the ending. It is the changing mindset, I think, of the team and even of the fan base now too. Of, you're no longer, I think, having to worry about, well, who are we going to move off this year because they're done losing? You know, who are we going to lose? It really has become, who are we going to go get?
Who can we acquire?
Who can we go acquire? The trade deadline, the trade deadline did not help, I think, the idea of the no trade clause being gone. I will say, though, with Colton Parayko, I think it was just bad timing. He's out in Seattle. He has a long-term girlfriend in St. Louis with him, and he's told in 48 hours, find out if you're moving to the East Coast or not.
Oh, and you're not a rental. You have years left on this term. That is something that needs to be decided within 24 hours.
Right, and
probably within 12, actually.
Yeah, and it should be noted, he probably also wasn't the first guy they were going to with that. Now, I will say at the time, and I still stand by this, there was reporting that St. Louis's GM at the time basically talked to the locker room and said, if you have no trade clauses, figure out if you're going to want to waive them or not.
Right.
And I don't know, it felt like at the time that Parayko maybe assumed he wasn't one of those guys.
I think he probably knew. It's just a question of, okay, where am I? Where would I have to be going? Mm-hmm. Everything like that. I do wonder, though, like, because it took so long, though, with Parayko, like, having that answer, be like, oh, you got to get real comfortable on your no-trade clauses.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going?
Right. Yeah,
where,
no, that's
where
fair.
Am I going? Where am I living?
Because he's from the West Coast, so if it was like you're going to the Kings,
yeah,
it's maybe a little bit different than, oh, you're going all the way across the country.
You're going to the East Coast, mm-hmm. And on the other side now. Oh, and by the way, there are four defensemen ahead of you on the depth chart, unquestionably.
I do wonder how that would have worked.
Yeah.
Because ultimately for...
Well, I think I know how it would have worked. You're not rotating defensemen and playing Logan Stanley or Zach Metza like sub 10 minutes in a hockey game. It is, your fifth is Colton Parayko, your sixth is Connor Timmins.
Mm-hmm. It's just, what I mean by that is more the Sabres' top four defensemen all had moments throughout this postseason where they were exceptional. Byram is the guy that initially sort of announces himself and we're like,
oh, in the Boston series,
like, excuse me?
Incredible.
Like, what is going on here? Owen Power's fairly consistent throughout. I think really came into his own towards the end of that series. Funny enough, it's with the injury that he really comes into his own. His pass to Darlene to tie it at 2-2 is phenomenal.
His start to Boston series and his end to Montreal series
mm-hmm.
were fantastic.
Yeah, so I had no issue with him. Darlene, my issue with him was consistency, but he was regularly also putting up points. I think he winds up with double digit as well.
End of both series there for him.
Very strong. And then Samuelson has a couple of big moments for the Sabres right away at the start with the goal that ultimately wins them the game. Well, puts them up against Boston.
But it ultimately puts them to where, hey, Boston has to pull the goalie.
Mm-hmm.
You score on that empty net, and then they eventually get theirs back. But it sets the tone for winning their first game in the playoffs in 15 years.
Yeah. So I just wonder where Parayko would have worked out with that, because it almost, in a way, worked out perfect for them, where it was like, yeah, we got a bunch of depth defensemen. We don't have to touch the top four. We have this group going. We're good.
I think, though, you would have launched them like the pair that they would have been, kind of like the Boston series. Until Logan Stanley gets sick, there's no questions on the bottom pair. As a matter of fact, the bottom pair plays pretty well.
Right.
They're not exposed. They're not overwhelmed. But I also think that Colton Parayko translates better to Montreal than Logan Stanley. That's not a hard thing to say.
That's probably true. That's the thing that I think maybe people are going to get upset about going forward.
Long term, though, with
the
Byram,
oh, okay.
That's where that would get tricky.
Mm-hmm.
Because Parayko, let's take a look. I need details on Pareko's contract here. But because he's signed a longer term, Byram suddenly looks like the odd man out.
Which is
Parayko's 6.5
is funny looking now at the comments from the GM yesterday. I mean, glowing about Byram.
Yeah,
flat out saying I told him today.
Yeah, Parayko's 6.5 until 2030.
Yeah, but
so that's Kekalainen for another 4 years.
Said it like I told him today. We want him here long term. He's sort of the Alex Tuch for next year. I'm like, okay, that contract is coming due. The difference there is he's much younger. It also seems like Byram is maybe hitting his peak and he's rounding into form. Where Tuck, you can obviously argue with the age, he may be going on the downspin. I do real quick on the Parayko thing and building. He's maybe more better for the Montreal series than for what they ultimately had. The Sabres, I think, were building more towards who they thought they were likely playing. Tampa Bay, Boston, Ottawa, Carolina.
And it's better to prepare for four teams
than one.
Than literally just one.
Right. And it gets them. But as we talked with Paul, maybe shouldn't have anyways.
Yeah. You
have a few moments. You have a few times in that series where you probably should have gotten through them.
And it was an even series, though. Mm-hmm. It's not like Buffalo got ran out the building the entire time and was lucky to get to a game seven. No. The two teams were very evenly matched. They just traded blowouts. They traded whose night were you on? And Buffalo would be on for one night. Montreal would be on for a couple nights. Then Buffalo takes one back. It literally just was, okay, which one of you stinks today?
Yeah, right.
Instead of the other way around, which is, okay, which one of you is going to take the close game? Which one's going to have their moment? It wasn't really moments. It was just, okay, you're off today. And you're not. So you're going to win the game.
And we're going to flip-flop it.
And we're going to flip-flop
outside it. Outside of... ultimately three games that are relatively close. 1, 4, and 7.
I wouldn't even say one was close.
So 4 and 7. I was going to say I really won't fight you on 1, 4 and 7.
Yeah, it's 4 and 7 because Buffalo doesn't even play their best game and they're all over them.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the third period, they're like, yeah, Montreal, go ahead, take your shots. We're winning.
Yeah.
We're going to make sure that they're not high danger and that's going to be that.
Man,
that's game one story and everyone thinks, oh my God, they played their B game and they still whooped butt. This is going to be a 5-game set. We were all wrong to think that.
Mm-hmm.
Very immature and not immature, very quick triggered. But
yeah, I had a quick trigger with it. The feelings I had after game three were not good.
No, you committed the crimes of being too high and too low.
Yeah.
And I got guilty of being a little too high on it, but I was like, I'm not gonna fall in the same pitfalls. It's gonna be a tough series. These teams are evenly matched, and overtime in game seven probably proves that in the most unfortunate of circumstances. But I'm glad ultimately that Parayko trade does not happen for two reasons now. One, you can sign Bo Byram. You have the money now to do it. You don't have a 33-year-old defenseman taking up 6.5 over the next 4 years. And two, you have Radim Mirka now to throw around, which you showed the NHL he's up for discussion.
Yeah, that's maybe the worst part about that trade getting nixed is that you already had it out there that Mirka was going to be the piece that was moved, or one of them.
But it's also now the second time his name is mentioned in trades. Mm-hmm. Keith Pelley, CEO of Toronto Sports Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, throws his name out there, and the reports were Sabres were mad about that because it's now public knowledge twice now mm-hmm. that Mirka is involved in trade discussions.
It almost feels like it's going to be stunning.
What do you think? So thinking back on Pelley's comments and how it's linked to, okay, was that the discussion about Matthew Knies? What about that?
Knies?
Yeah. Would you trade Matthew Knies?
I love Matthew Knies. My issue with him is not him specifically the player. It's more, why would Toronto do that? I think he's one of their few players that they can – younger players that they can look at and be pretty excited about. Now, Knies –
defense.
Fair. Knies is interesting because – so we just listened to a clip from Josh Stone, and I know there's already discussions of, well, don't already replace J.J. Paterka's production when he came
right.
in. And that was a question when Paterka is traded, who is going to replace that?
And we were quite loud about the question.
And it's ultimately
unfairly.
Right. And it's ultimately Doan. Doan is 24. There's a fair argument that if he's put on the top line, that he could replace Alex Tuch production if he's gone. Knies, if that was a trade that they would pull off, I would absolutely be singing that from the top of every rooftop. Well, he could replace what you had in Alex Tuch.
Unfortunately, Brad Tree Living's not there anymore. You can't pull the sheet over his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Not that John Chyka has proven to be a great general manager, but I would say the bar is pretty low in terms of making fun of Brad Tree Living.
Yeah, well, the Tree Living...
He's one of those.
Yeah, the Tree Living thing is... I mean, listen to any Toronto pundit talk about how his tenure went there. It was he handled trades horribly.
The Calgary fan base was screaming mm-hmm. from the mountaintops, don't bring in this man. We are warning you. And...
Well, they did. And 2 years later...
His tenure started with, Calgary's not going to let me be on the draft floor, so... Can we help out about that? Like, mm-hmm. and okay, maybe don't make things weird, Tree Living, on your exit or something. I don't know.
Toronto,
with how they run themselves, though, is also a little bit of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Dubas, how he gets fired in the first place.
And that seems to have been a huge miscalculation by them.
It seems like a miscalculation by them. He does a great job of on the fly getting Pittsburgh younger and better. Chinnikov is a great
deal. That's the thing. Pittsburgh, now it's going to be, okay, once we move off of the Sidney Crosby event of Evgeny Malkin, and Malkin is already a talking point with, is he going to be back in Pittsburgh or not? Yeah. But there's already a discussion there of, all right, what's going to happen now? But them getting Chinnikov from Columbus, a player I actually thought that maybe the Sabres were in on, because there was like a 25-minute period there. We didn't actually know the team that acquired him, and that's a former Yarmo guy. I was pretty excited about him, and I really liked what he brought Pittsburgh. I was stunned at how bad he was against Philadelphia. Because especially earlier in that series, it felt like, oh, he's going to be all over him. He is going to be a weapon, and it just never materializes. But Toronto might be a real interesting team to talk with, potentially for a trade. As you mentioned, Chake is now in there. He's not really married to any of these players. The big name is always going to be Matthews, right? Because that's their big ticket. You wonder, though, if Nice, what is he, 24 now? Had 29 goal season, 23 goal season this past year as well. It's a much more defensive system with Craig Berube. Just go look at Austin Matthews' numbers. Not good for this generation's best goal scorer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, if they want defensive help, maybe that could get it done. There's a few moves they can do. The big names are always going to be the Robert Thomases or the Nico Hischiers. There are other moves they can get done that maybe won't take away most of the prospect pool. And also have you get better. The Knives thing, I would be all over. I think especially, too, he sort of fits what Tuch is. That would be maybe my only issue with Doan. Doan is not Alex Tuch in terms of the physical presence, right? Tuch is what, 6'4", 230?
Mm-hmm.
Doan is about 6 foot. I don't necessarily have his weight down. But Knives is 6'3", 230. He's a big guy.
Knives was the perfect size component mm-hmm. for the high-end skill of Matthews and Nylander.
Mm-hmm. And if I can put someone like a Matthew Knies with, look at all the playmakers they have now, Benson, Austlin, Helenius, all of the defensemen.
Doan's 6'2", by the way.
Doan is 6'2"? I thought he was 6 foot. Okay.
He's 6'2", 200 pounds.
Okay, so, there is the difference.
It's the lighter bit on the frame that you would expect for 6'2", but still 6'2" nonetheless.
But Knies, I think he'd be a really fun idea if Toronto is in the market.
Leafs, you want to revisit that conversation?
Right, if they're in the market to actually, because that's...
I don't think Chyka looks at Knies and goes, that's a player I need to trade.
Well, I was going to say, like, if it's me, he's going to be one of the foundational pieces I continue to build here.
Yeah.
He has a down year in goals. He has a career high in points. He hits 66, and this is a team that, especially in the second half of the year, was horrendous, and they couldn't score. And they do lose Matthews for a good chunk of the second half of the year.
See what I'm talking about the old boys club and the decision-making they always make? Mm-hmm. Tree Living's one of those guys.
Oh, absolutely.
God, I miss having bad GMs on other teams.
Chuck Fletcher, never forget. The Knies thing, though, would be really interesting. I have kind of wrapped my head around Thomas and Hischier, and I've already kind of, in some ways, and we talked about this with Sal yesterday, but in many ways, this is true of me as well. The confirmation bias. I don't think Tuch will be here after listening to some of the comments yesterday and also looking around. You have the Jeff Skinner buyout that it's going to hit this year, $6.4 million or whatever that's going to be, $6.5 million. That is going to be tough. Bo Byram and Zach Benson being talked highly about wanting to get extensions done. It just leaves room now with Tuch of, can you get it done? Is that even a possibility? And so I'm now really starting to gear up to what I hope is going to be an exciting offseason that maybe is full of trades. Because free agency doesn't look that great.
No,
it's trades.
It's Tuck Radish and a bunch of guys.
Mm-hmm. It's trades that are where it's going to get done. And Sabres have a lot of pieces, and not everyone's going to be able to play there. And Mirka, as we mentioned, might be the top of the list of guys that you almost don't expect ever to play for the Sabres because they're a high-value player, and the position he plays is sort of full right now with a bunch of young guys. 803-0550, the number to call. We'll take a quick timeout. Sabres Live coming up at the top of the hour on WGR.
It's Mike Shope.
It's nothing you did.
It's not you, it's me.
It's not you, it's you, but you didn't cross me.
And the Bulldog.
Why did I choose? Why did I just stay in school?
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
You have to buy the premium subscription to have known this, but Bulldog in the break, already sort of thinking out his transition from the end of hockey. Not the end of the NHL playoffs. It might be for me, but at least the Sabres. So,
no, I will go in on the conference finals. But, yeah, that doesn't begin until tomorrow, and the East and not until Thursday, so there's no hockey tonight. And Zach just mentioned Blue Jays at Yankees. I'm like, all right, we get that channel now, I think, on the Fubo service, so I can do that. And then I remembered myself how excited I was today when I saw what Victor Wembanyama did yesterday with San Antonio in game one of the Western Conference Final. But they don't play tonight. They played last night, but the Knicks play tonight. Knicks and Cavs, game one of the East. So I'm gonna start transitioning to more casual endeavors than, you know, sitting with my head in my hands watching the Sabres playoff games.
Of course, ADP chasing 7:30 on YouTube.
Well, you can't miss that.
You definitely get that channel.
Yeah, I
everybody gets that.
I look forward to that.
Do you?
No,
I do a little bit. Twitter, the season ends in overtime, and every time I looked at Twitter, it was all about Victor Wembanyama. Like, it was just, that must have been so spectacular that nobody wanted to, you know, even with who I follow, nobody wanted to, I didn't get a lot of hockey reaction.
I saw a reel of highlights starting with, like, the game, like, in the 90s. Like, the score was in the 90s. And he hit a three or maybe two threes from, like, the Steph Curry spot.
Yeah.
Like, 30 feet. Wait, what is that? Who are you again? Wow. I've dipped in on him since he's been in the league a couple different times and I'm always intrigued and excited, but now I feel like my deck is much clearer.
Interesting.
So I'm looking forward to game two of that series.
Well,
hopefully it's not at midnight or something.
All this, or much of this, because the Sabres lost. I'm crushed. I mean, we all are. I was getting greedy. I that just happens. It happened to me. I didn't really want first place that much, and then I did. Then I got it. And then, okay, whatever happens in the playoffs is going to happen. At least I'm back. You know, they're relevant. Young core. No, I want to beat Boston, actually. That's a team I should beat. Let's beat Boston. Done. And then you get this series, which was so interesting and wild. But last night's game, another one where if it came down to judges, they would win unanimously. You want to talk about whether we should change hockey so that we have a panel of people representing different countries who vote on who the better team was. Take the Nets out, just, you know, who looked good. It was totally there for them, but one play, and we loved them, but we didn't love we loved Darlene. We didn't love him on the goal. We have had so much fun with Thompson. We didn't love him on the goal. Lukanen up and down. Was it a good goal? Was it a good goal? Was it a bad goal? Or do you take him off the hook because the puck had dipped on him? I don't know. It's the same as ever in this way, where as much fun as we've had unexpectedly for what? Months. I mean, 5 months since it kind of started. And now it's like, well, I'm not in the mood to bang on them, really, because of how, you know, like, no. You said, grateful yesterday. That's how I feel, too.
Yeah.
But, man, like, just so, even, it's so easy from home. Even early, where Zucker is in, and he's got, like, Dobish is giving him the net, and he doesn't take it. He tries to pass across, and it's back into the goalie. Just waits another tiny fraction of a second, and the whole net is there. There were just plays like that. The Benson one. There's just plays like that all night.
Like a half a dozen, or maybe more, plays where I think the puck ends up covered up, and I know everything is elevated. It's game seven, and the later it gets, you're more tense, and therefore everything seems more incredible. I muttered at least a half a dozen times to myself, I can't believe that puck stayed out. I thought Dobish just looked so out of position enough times that you just couldn't believe that someone didn't find their way to an opportunity to shovel that thing in. I mean, it was just, there were some crazy scrambles.
Play where he dives out on his defenseman's legs, the
right.
top of the crease.
Yeah, that's one of them.
End of play.
Right. Like, what the heck? I mean, you get those. That happens. I felt like that happened a couple times a period last night. Just come on. So really tough.
This is the Buffalo thing that's so maddening, is so many of these heartbreaks are games where you just kind of feel like you deserved a bounce. That's Brandon Cooks.
Sure.
I mean, just like, can I just get a bounce? And it's probably too much to say you never do. I'm the guy who steps in and says, well, actually, you know, in the second quarter. But, man, like, it's just like Denver and some of these Bills losses. Could I have just gotten the puck off the skate? Although I would say about the Montreal goal off the skate that it was probably intentional.
Well, I think that the shooter definitely was aiming for the traffic.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that's not a complete fluke.
No.
And they're open. I mean, they had how many good looks in the first 12 minutes?
Oh, my gosh. The power play goal by Boldic was just all alone from the opposite corner. Like, that pass never should get completed.
This is no so way. Good, though.
It was fantastic.
It was hard.
Like, yeah, very hard. Very hard play to make happen, which is why, you know, I wouldn't want to criticize Lukanen for giving that up. It was like, how did that puck even get there?
Lukanen makes the two great glove saves on Caulfield right before the Benson. I mean, can you blame Benson? He's diving and just sort of swats at the puck. It goes over the glass. Does that have to go over the glass? Did Brian Campbell's puck have to go? Like, just... Put it on the pile. It's just so hard to resist doing that for as much fun as we've all had here and as pleased and grateful as we all probably are. It's so hard to avoid me. I'm home for the game as it ends on the couch. It's one of the rare games everyone in my family watched the end of. My wife had already come back home with my daughter from the watch party. The deal was... You know, you get two periods, maybe a little bit of the third. They're already back for overtime, and everybody's in the room, and it was just silence. And my hands are on my head, and I'm thinking about my entire life with them, and everything about how much fun this has been is removed for a moment. It's just instead, this feels like
it always
50
feels,
other times.
Right, feels like it always feels.
Why couldn't I get that bounce? Like, I was optimistic all night. Well, not all night. Probably starting in the second. When they're rolling a little bit.
Same,
then.
Yeah.
But just, I needed a lucky one. And I wouldn't count Greenway's pants as a lucky one. Like, that's an open shot that goes in off. I had that, by the way. I had that hit Greenway right away. I was happy about that. Greenway's pants. They were one more goal away from me renaming all of my fantasy teams to Greenway's pants. You were watching the game on TV. There were many times.
Yeah,
it was
no,
said
I did
many
not,
times. Greenway's pants.
Okay.
They love saying it.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
So, wait. Samuelson's shot went in off Greenway?
Yeah. Greenway's goal.
I never even knew that. I'm telling you, when we went to game five of the Boston series, game two of this series, and now game seven, I have not. I can hear. I know the official is speaking. I cannot understand a single word that they're saying. I hear
the ref.
Yeah, the ref. Now I will hear Jay Moran, the public address announcer. So he's not announcing the goal, but Jay would, of course, announce the goal. I didn't even notice that it was Greenway. It was so loud in there. I never even realized that went in.
I don't know if they didn't change it.
Okay,
because that's what I'm saying. Like at first they. And out McDonough was all Samuelson.
Okay.
And I'm like, no, that hit Greenway in the butt.
Yeah.
And it barely did.
Okay.
It might not have gone in anyway. Yeah, it's more toward Dobish than and the deflection takes it more toward the opening.
I'm glad we settled this now because I would have embarrassed myself more than I just have. In 2 months, someone saying, well, Greenway scored in game seven. Like, what are you talking about? I would have argued, and I would have been wrong.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank
you. Well, I'm here for you.
Good. Good. I appreciate
it. I had that one. Let's go to Jacob next. Hi, Jacob.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you.
Good. Calling in, you know, just I'm here in Chicago, and just to not only be able to see the city last night and all the shots, you know, following along on Twitter and everything else, and see it kind of come to life, but just to be able to have that connection back with it, you know, living out here. I also, mm-hmm. I played growing up and Bulldog can, I'm sure, attest to this with Owen, like traveled around playing, met a lot of people. Yep. My buddy Connor called in yesterday. I grew up in Fredonia with him. You know, he's in Florida. He's hyped up about the game and we've been talking more often recently because of the Sabres game and, you know, the playoff run, even the gold medal game, talking to each other right after that. So, it's been just amazing seeing how the human connection that this team just being good again can bring back. So I just wanted to express that, and it's been great to stay connected through listening to you guys and the guys in the morning too. So enjoyed the run. It's a sad missed opportunity, but excited to feel this passionate about it again, you know, guys. So thanks for everything.
For sure, Jacob. Thank you. No, I like that. I you know, I tend to think about the city and he, you know, the immediate area and just how much life there is around, you know, even on the non-game days. It's just like everyone, oh, just that game last night, can't wait for tomorrow. Like that whole thing, we've talked about it for years, every other day, and just the hustle of the playoff. I don't think about the Sabres, I guess, globally like we do the Bills because the NFL is so much bigger. But, of course, people who are from here that don't live here anymore, expats, would be – the connectivity would increase with the hometown hockey team being back in it. So that's cool to hear. Thank you.
Jason's next. Hi, Jason.
Hey, guys. You guys are the best sports therapists going. Mm-hmm. I mean, the amount of times you help us get through these moments. Two things. First off, not getting the puck on net more often was so maddening. Just watching those 90-something scoring opportunities. I'm not sure what the normal ratio is between shots and scoring opportunities, but with 37 shots on 90-something opportunities, and every time they miss the net, I'm like, just hit the net. Not only the shots taken and missed, the shots not taken as well, and it was just so maddening, just thinking, geez, what could have been had they hit the target and made Dobich make some saves. You know, they hit the net so often in game six, and in game seven, it was just, you know, I don't know if they, I don't know what the mindset was, but they just couldn't hit the net. That, and, you know, the Habs played a much better game in game seven than they did in game six, like a much better game. They were atrocious in game six, but they had guys step up. Like Hudson was a beast for them, like just an absolute animal on defense, and that, you know, and that really set back the Sabres for like the first period or so. But just for the Sabres, just hit the net more and it might have been a different outcome.
So tough. Yeah. 39-25 were the shots on goal.
I mean, that is
91-59 were the shot attempts.
Those aren't all scoring attempts. So you, out of the caller, you use those words almost interchangeably, and that's not exactly right. But they did have a ton of chances, and they missed the net a lot. 39's a lot of pucks to put on the net. I mean, you've got 10 minutes or so of overtime to pad that a little, and they definitely had a couple of really good chances in overtime. But sure, the point is well taken. They missed the net often enough that you wonder if they put 10 more of those actually on the net, whether they score two or three more times. I just thought Dobish was he just looked out of it so many different times, just out of position, but he always found a way to stop the puck. So it's one of these days where if I were like really into the Canadiens and critiquing them, I'd be like, man, the style points are in the gutter here, but whatever, you got the job done. I mean, the job is to keep the puck out of the net, and he did. But man, I just thought he was gettable all night, I thought.
I just feel that they're so unlucky, or that we are. And I hate that because I just don't like that in my lexicon, you know? I mean, you have in a regular season, I don't want instant replay. I don't want to hear about refs. I get 6 months to finish in the top half of the league. And if there's a goal that I should have gotten that didn't count, shut up. I mean, it's just I get 6 months. I get 82 games to just get to the halfway point of the league, and then I'm live. Stop it with all these little, you know, these details. I think that all should, a pox on all that. A 7-game series is not 82 games, but I still want to think, like, figure it out. And I think in this series, they just didn't get enough saves that would have made their lives easier. But I still feel so unlucky. If Norris isn't cut on the high stick and it's a 2-minute penalty because there's nothing to look at, that penalty stands because they don't have a review if it's 2 minutes.
Right,
because
they didn't.
But instead, he's bleeding.
Right, and they caught.
They look at it.
Right, and they realize it's Benson's
stick. Benson's stick.
Wow, yeah, that's funny, right?
And Montreal has one penalty. Each team had only one penalty in the end. The only Sabre, the only Sabre penalty of the game is the Benson over the glass. It's one each.
Yep.
And Montreal scores.
Right.
I just always feel that's what's so, again, maddening about
right.
It's the Buffalo point. I just always feel like there's some bad break. Maybe Brandon Cooks was a catch. I don't know. I don't think it was, but it's been argued. It's a fair point. It's a fair argument.
Yeah, perfectly sane people think it was a catch.
Yes. And then I'm kicking a field goal and winning, and am I in the Super Bowl and winning? I mean, just how many of
probably.
These? How many of these? The Sabres have brought back another dimension of this, another team for this that we only had from our past. But now we've got it new again, is like all those close calls, that high sticking play, puck off the skate. I don't know. It's complicated.
Quick whistle.
The quick whistle. It's complicated because I think sometimes in sports, don't you lose and not have that? Don't certain teams sometimes lose and sort of just handshakes and that's it?
You know, I want to say, of course, we've all watched games like that, but we're not all emotionally invested in every game to be taking those kinds of mental notes as the game is going on, maybe. You know, like, I mean, I try, but it just, this is so, I'm not trying to undo the point here at all. But, yeah, I mean, you should be able to lose in a less epic, tragic fashion occasionally.
Right.
That might be healthy
that's,
for
that's
everyone.
That's one way to put it.
But last night was like, you know, yeah, another, it's another chapter, you know?
For sure. Mike is next. Hello.
Yeah, I'm just going to piggyback upon what you guys are talking about here. This city, sports town as a whole, is just so snake bitten, like unlucky. Hurst even, maybe. So we have zero championships between both of these teams, and it's maddening. It's like all we have is big names for these.
Mike, we got Mike calling from the Cave of the Winds. We got to let you go, Mike. But
the connection was not quality.
I think you got your point in. Frank is next. Frank, go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to, like, I was especially crushed because I was in Montreal the day, and all day long I just heard people say that, oh, we just want to hope to put up a good game against Buffalo. I hope we don't look bad. Let's just go out silently, because they sure made us look like we were peons. And that 8-3 win kind of demoralized them, so I was for sure thought it was a lock. And it just came down to Buffalo luck, I guess, but that's the way it goes. But one thing I did want to say is, like, I think we need to, like, really recognize how great the progression is of Dan Dunleavy and how good of a job he's doing. I could not have wished for a better person to replace Rick Jenneret. And I hope you guys are going to have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Frank.
Mike is next. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Got it. Obviously.
Yeah.
Quick question: If you guys were either of you were the GMs, and then you had to add with Thompson and Tuck or subtract Thompson and Tuck, what would you guys do? And obviously, it might be tender right now, but if you guys could give me that, I'd appreciate it. Go Sabres.
I think Tuck hurt himself pretty good in this round. it's still a sample size point you can make, but to go from what he meant to the Sabres to zeros in the second round, and really it looked like zeros. I mean, he was close a couple times, but that can almost how can that not happen, right? When you're just it was bad. I don't know what we don't know what their thinking is about him, other than that we know they hadn't signed him already. Like that didn't get done to some huge contract. And I think they might have the kind of situation here where they can afford to move on. I think they might have enough talent already signed, committed for next year, and then B, the flexibility that they would gain without him if they were to so choose, that might be their course of action. But on the other hand, he wants to stay, and they just did this incredible run, and he was such a big part of it. Maybe it goes the other way.
I think you really, really have to take as much time as you've got to figure out. But before you go about trying to move on from him, you got to make sure you've got, and this is not a point about the kids to me, that you have something lined up. And this is convenient because, you know, maybe it'll feel like they're just stringing Tuck along, but the draft is, there's a lot of business at the NHL. There can be anyway. Like oftentimes trades happen there because free agency is going to come, you know, 3, 4, 5 days later. And that is the same calendar we're working off now. So maybe you pick up the phone and you're talking to St. Louis again about Robert Thomas. Not that a center of Thomas's caliber is a direct replacement for Tuck, who's a winger, but still you're adding something. If you know you can do that, then I think that might buffer whatever I'm going to do with Tuck. Now, I got to consider what I'm going to have to give up to get Thomas, and it's probably one of the group that we love at least so much, aside from draft picks and whatever else. So, Hellenius, Osland, I mean, you're not touching Benson, I don't think, at this point.
Nope.
Kulik, he's coming off the injury. Anyway, you get the point. Do I have a way to effectively, because I don't think they can afford to just say, we don't want to pay Alex Tuck blank, whatever that number is. We don't want to do that. We're going to let him go and not have something credible. Again, credible beyond, well, Benson will score more and Hellenius will play. And look, that all might work great. But you also might have a situation where those guys are all still 20 and 21 years old. And can I really, I'm trying to win the cup now, right? That's what I'm doing. So I don't think Tampa let, Tampa's Tampa. They were coming off cups. They let Stamkos go and they signed Jake Guentzel. Now that player, Tuck is Jake Guentzel on this market. Like he's going to be the number one guy out there. So there's not a free agent. So I think that fits the bill. You're going to have to trade for somebody if you want to let him go. And you got to get that all lined up before you make a decision there. Because to me, there's still a price point and really a roster building standpoint viewpoint where I would have to say, you know what, I didn't want to have to pay Tuck $11.5 million, but I have to right now to keep. We don't have a better idea. And I don't think, I could be wrong on this, I admit. I don't think a cup contender can just say the kids will do it.
Yeah,
that to me feels like what Kevin Adams was trying to do for the last 5 years, waiting for Jack Quinn to show up and be the player he looks like he is now. You were counting on that 3 years ago, and that probably wasn't smart. I cannot do that again.
If you notice a rattle in your ducts or a rise in your heating or cooling bills, give Belknap a ring. With 0% financing, the cost of upgrading to a high-efficiency dual-fuel heating system is a breeze. Learn more at BelknapHeating.com. That's BelknapHeating.com. Go green, save energy, and save money with Belknap. Schedule a free estimate on your new installation. Give Belknap a ring at 688-1728. For more comfort and less ka-ching, give Belknap a ring, Bulldog. All good points on Tuck, I think. 803-0550 for your calls. We'll look for them again next after the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.